Welcome back to the Lead Lamp Podcast. This week, we have Kristen McMahon on from Challenge Island of Central PA. I'm very excited to have you on because we've had some experience with you in the past and what you do, and it's exciting. It's a lot sometimes because I know we had the event the first time, and I was like, this is
a lot.
This is a lot. And it's very busy.
A lot of fun.
But it's a lot of fun, too. So kind of briefly talk about, you know, what you do in the area and talk about Challenge Island a little bit, and then we'll get a little deeper into it then.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate you having me back. I am so excited when I get to say that the Tooth Fairy is my customer.
How many people have a Tooth Fairy?
Not many businesses get to say that. And I'm Kristen McMahon, Challenge Island Central PA. We are a STEAM enrichment program. So that's science, technology, engineering, art, and math all at the same time. And that's where it gets a little overwhelming.
And I saw there's all the STEAM on your site too now.
There is. Yeah. And depending on where you are, that can mean religion or reading. And then I guess we need two R's if we're doing all of those things.
To figure out a new acronym.
And that's where all the cross-curricular instructional pieces do come in from that allows those the events to be so exciting, and then mostly for adults, overwhelming because the kids are built for that.
Yeah, they're used to
and they're thriving. They're absolutely thriving.
So go into a little bit about, you know, what Challenge Island can do and what you do when you go into a school or daycare or any facility that is unique. It's just different.
The best way to describe Challenge Island is taking today's students and turning them into tomorrow's workforce and tomorrow's leaders. We say STEAM, but everything that we're doing is focusing on 21st century skills, communication, collaboration, creativity, compromise, all of the things that in our adult lives we do every day, and they are learning in every one of our sessions. So that's really the best part about what it brings to it. We work in teams. The STEAM teams are broken up and they have to take these challenges. But every team gets the same amount of supplies, the same amount of time, just like project management in the real world, and solve that challenge because it's all about problem-solving mindset. My favorite thing to ask in every session is raise your hand if you had a problem today.
That's good.
It's usually me raising my hand about which problem did I have and how did you solve it?
And when you say your teams, you're talking about your teams of kids that you're working with.
Yes. Yeah. So when we go into the schools, you asked with the daycares and the schools, we take, say it's 20 kids and we take those 20 students and we put them into STEAM teams of four or five. You have to create the name of your team based on whatever color bandana you have for the day. And that's right from the get-go. We're unlocking their beautiful potential of their brain for that creativity aspect. And it's really hard. That's the part that you've seen at the end of the sessions where it's hard to shut that down once that has been opened.
Yeah. It's like once you open that box, it's just go.
Yeah.
And they absorb it too, which is awesome to see it.
They absolutely do.
And you were talking about that between adults and kids, it's interesting to see how quick the kids embrace that like challenge where they have to break out and start working right away. When I think when we're adults and we get older, it's a little bit harder to just jump into that.
It is
type of a challenge. So it's cool to see kids just click and they're like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah. So in the school environment, you get to see the just kids when we're at events out in the community, like the Tooth Fairy time, or we're doing family nights. The best part is that the adults then make that transition as well, a little bit slower than the kids do, but it's just as beneficial because they're being able to, we use the engineering process in every single one. We follow the same STEAM building steps for them to not just create and come up with that problem, the solution to the problem, but to build it out, brainstorm it, and then make sure, oh, and then fail.
Right.
That's so the best when you part. Ask about what does it really bring, it brings this safe environment to fail. We're not, it's not a common occurrence in
It doesn't change
many
anything
things.
At the end of the day.
And so they get to safely fail and learn from those mistakes. And that hands-on learning, we all know how beneficial it is. My favorite example is my roller coasters. So kinetic and potential energy. You can come up with whatever things you, okay, that means, is it in motion? Is it not in motion? Does it have motion? Is it storing the motion? And then once you see it and you build your own roller coaster and you fail and it doesn't work, but then you fix it, then you're like, I understand what potential and kinetic energy is because I did it myself.
Well, and then you get confidence in seeing the problem unfold and then fixing the problem too.
Yeah. Yeah. And the confidence is the other thing they bring to it, and empowerment. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing to do is say yes at Challenge Island, because even then as an adult, you know, whatever work, you know, you're doing or in your personal life, you can't always say yes to everything. And when a student comes up to me and says, can I cut this straw? And I say, is it in your design? Is it okay with your team? And as soon as they say yes, I say yes.
Yeah.
They light up.
In the real world.
Yeah.
Even kids.
Yeah.
You know, they're kids and kids and adults are hearing no more often than yes, usually.
Yes.
Especially when it's something crazy and they're able to just do what they want.
Yeah.
It's kind of unlocking this oh, I can do that?
Yeah. That's the other thing I like to ask.
That's awesome. Now, do you do events with adults specifically too, like just corporate events and things like that?
Yeah. So that's actually my background is in corporate America. And when I had my career transition and I had always kind of wanted to work for myself, I said, I evaluated some different businesses and I thought I was going to start a field hockey development business, but then I remembered how much work that was. And I used to train adults. So I had to make that transition of training adults into, you know, okay, well now they're usually shorter. And so now we're training children. So making that switch, but I did, and I do corporate steam building, of course we call it instead of team building.
Right. That's good. So what's the one thing you see different when you're working with a group of adults versus a group of kids? And I'm sure that there's a longer period of time and before they're all in on those challenges too. So it's probably cool to see it unravel with adults a little longer, but there's still a moment where it clicks.
Absolutely. So the main difference between our corporate steam building events and say an in-school field trip. So in-school field trip is all students. Mm-hmm. They're typically the same grade level, but we also mix grade levels as well, which is cool to see those dynamics of kids helping kids. In the corporate steam building ones, the biggest difference is listening. I'm going to pause there because most people would think, oh, so the kids aren't listening? No, it's the adults who aren't listening. They're not listening to each other. It focuses, brings it back to those 21st century skills. One of the challenges has to do with the Eiffel Tower. And there's not a lot of supplies, but it's built just like a project manager. We have a designer. We have our project manager who has to keep track of time, supplies. And the number one rule is don't touch anything until the project manager says you can. Guess what happens every time?
Everyone just jumps in.
And then we just all pause again and say, okay, this is exactly what we're here to do. Let's just and learn from this moment.
That's something that happens in every project, every day at work. Like, you know, we have project manager here and I can't tell you the countless, that's Kara. I can't tell you the countless times I've stepped over that line and been like, oh, I'm just going to jump into it. And then later she's like,
yes. Yep.
What are you doing?
Like, you got that plan.
You didn't tell me what's happening. So yeah, I mean, that happens daily. So it's cool that transpires. Even when they're trying to break from work, it goes right back to those habits.
Absolutely. And that's with the students then and having that plan. When someone may want to go off course, that's what we're really learning is how am I working with these four people who I've never worked with before? And I really want my idea to be the one. And then we go back to the plan. And it's so easy to see them understand, okay, you're right. We did all commit to this plan.
Right.
And I know I really want to do this, but I'm going to
stay
the course.
Yeah.
Stay the course for my team.
That's awesome. So what made you... We're going to change the topic a little bit. What made you want to go from like corporate world and being a corporate trainer to making that switch to like, this is what I want to do. We're going to start Challenge Island. No, Challenge Island's nationwide, right?
Yes. Well, we're actually global. So there's over 100 locations. I was fortunate to meet our Columbia, South America, our owner. It was so cool. Of course, you know, we talk and all the Zooming and all of that. But so there's over 100. So there's two here in Pennsylvania. I'm the central PA. So basically cover What counties did you say? We went over all the counties.
Before we started, we were Cumberland, Dauphin, and Northern York.
Yeah. And so really, I always knew I wanted to do something other than pharmacy. So I'm a pharmacist by trade. Mm-hmm. What is really cool about Challenge Island is being able to advocate for STEAM and increase awareness. I had a STEAM career and didn't know it. I'm the S in mm-hmm. STEAM. I went to 6 years of pharmacy school. And while I was in pharmacy school, I said, I know I want to do something else. So I went ahead and got my master's in business administration as well. And so then fast forward, you know, many years later and looking to change roles, change, you know, make myself more flexible for family, all of the things, and combining those all together, I evaluated a couple of our businesses and I said, you know what? No one could have ever told me or predicted that I would run a STEAM enrichment program mm-hmm. for children, but what an amazing way to make an impact on so many children and quite frankly, our community and be mm-hmm. able to say any one of these students can move into a STEAM career, which is—
And there's thousands of them.
So absolutely needed here in America. That was the other thing I didn't know, and especially for girls mm-hmm. and making that available to them to do that hands-on piece and say, yeah, I want to do this. I want to make a difference because yeah. we're going to keep needing more products and more efficiencies. And one of them are going to do it. And it's going to be so cool. And they can start yeah. now. They don't have to wait until, you know, college to do
right.
it. That's our entrepreneur one. I love when I run that and I say, well, how old do you have to be to start a business? One kid in every class just kind of sits there and waits for a minute. Not like in a real calm way. You can do it whenever you want. And I'm like, yes, you can. You can start this today. And we mm-hmm. see it, of course, every so often as well.
Yeah. So you had no experience prior with like early childhood education or everything. And so was there like you knew you wanted to do it, obviously, mm-hmm. but was there like an initial shock when you were like starting to work with kids instead? And you're like,
absolutely.
This is way different.
So the business plan was actually, I started in 2020. Business plan was summer 2020. I start, we run camps and I'll have my team of STEAM instructors.
Were you planning that pre-shutdown of everything?
Yeah, 2019, fall 2019. And what was really cool was I actually started earlier than that because, you know, I'm sure not every business plan out there goes exactly to what it's supposed to. And it gave me that opportunity to take those skills that I had in the adult training world and transition in my own safe environment through the virtual world mm-hmm. of starting to learn some of those things. Plus, again, that my team building those STEAM instructors and learning from them every day, of all of the different pieces of classroom management. But at the end of the day, everything is based on positive reinforcement. Mm-hmm. So the second anybody walks into a Challenge Island session, you know, they're basically hit with that positive right. reinforcement, that empowerment, and making sure that they know that they're going to succeed today. And we tell them right out of the gates. In fact, one of the laws is to never give up. You work with somebody else, you find a different way. Mm-hmm. If you have a problem, we're coming up with that solution.
You say your team now a couple of times. How many people are on like your team specifically? Not the yep. kids and they break out in the teams, but yeah. How many people are with like your group when you go into a...
So depending on what season it is or what summer's our busiest season. Mm-hmm. So I have about 10 instructors okay. and teammates. Some of them are behind the scenes as well because we all know a small business owner cannot do everything.
Yeah, I'm sure you have to prepare a lot too before you even go in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Since we're a mobile business, you know, there's inventory management, there's mm-hmm. getting all the right supplies packed and into the schools and then, you know, making sure that every place is left better than we left it.
There you go.
They're an amazing team.
That's a challenge, but you know, if you have a good team behind you,
they are.
It all works.
Mm-hmm.
So going into schools, you're going into daycares. What do you think is the number one thing that, you know, businesses are businesses. So there are moments where you're like, oh, like this is a lot. But then at the same time, when you're done, that moment of like, not overwhelming feeling, but like that moment of the burden of running a business is overwhelmed by the moment of like, this is worth it. So what's that for you where it's that passion that drives it?
Thank you for that. It is exactly what you said. I am typically exhausted going into every session, but the energy that I gain from each one of those sessions does, you know, keep that cycle going. And it'll sound a little cliche, but the spark. So it's really cool, whether it be one student or a handful of them, that they ask, so they'll ask adults, right? It's a natural thing to say, can you do this for me?
Yeah.
We know they can do it. Sometimes we have more time to spend with them to do it. But in these sessions, of course, that is really the best part to me, to be able to say to them, yes, I can help you after you try it because I know you can do it. 9 times out of 10, I don't end up helping said child or group. They either help each other, or then you can buddy them up and say, well, I know that Johnny knows how to make tape donuts. So Johnny helped Jenny. And then Johnny loves being able to share that knowledge with Jenny, which is
he's
so
the tape
cool
guy.
And now yes. And so being able to walk away from that, not only energized, but knowing that either one or multiple of those kids, they're all we've made an impact. And that's like a really cool feeling to be able to have.
So that leaves you feeling like that gives you that buzz when you're done actually.
Yes.
Versus.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I think it's different. Like, for what we do a lot of media projects and, you know, digital projects, and it's ours is a little different, and it's, we get that excitement kind of building into it.
Yes.
And then when you're in the middle of one of those projects, there's a little bit of a valley where you're like, oh, like we got to get this
details,
done.
Details.
And then when you're pushing it out and you see the final product, there's the excitement again. So for you, it's kind of like the opposite. You hit that excitement on the tail end of that, which is, it's cool.
Very rewarding.
You're not, you know, you're leaving there with that, you know, revitalized energy.
Yes. To go into the next one.
So let's go into the events themselves.
Okay.
What do you think, and I'm going to ask some more fun questions here. Awesome. So like, what do you think is your, if you had to pick an activity that when you do that activity, you're like, this is my favorite. I love doing this one.
Oh, I just said this on a call this morning. I love pre-K 4-year-olds.
Okay.
Pre-K 4-year-olds are just built to create. They also are at that level where they're still just kind of figuring out how to share and get along, but they also have all of these ideas, and sometimes they're not necessarily equipped to communicate them yet, but being able to sit down, get that out of them, they get to see it from each other in a different environment than what they normally might be doing, right? They might be playing together independently, but together. But they always have the most creative ideas. So I love we call them our Challenge Island Junior, our pre-K 4.
Is that the youngest age group you start
with?
It
is, yes.
And that's cool age group too, because they, and I'm not saying this, don't come after me for saying this. If there's anyone from like my wife will come after me for this one probably, but like the schools, and it's not an indoctrination, it's not the right word, but the schools start to structure kids after that age. So you're getting kids at that age where they're not really, some of them might be in pre-kindergarten programs, but they're part-time, they're at home still. They're not like in a structured environment. So you're getting a very wide variety of, of unstructured, you know, kids here at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And then moving that into kindergarten, because they're, you know, they would be second place for me, but we know we love all of them, just to be clear. Cause I could just tell you my favorites about every, section and age. We just did an event a couple weeks ago and it was about simple machines. And, this particular one was a pulley system because we had an anchor and we didn't teach the kids about the pulley system or how to use it. It was all hands-on, and no one said, okay, this is how the pulley system works. We set it up, my PVC pipe, my anchor, and nothing was in it. So we wanted them to purposely see nothing would happen. And I didn't even ask. And one of them said, well, it's not doing anything. And I said, well, why? And one of the other ones said, well, because you need to put something in there because that needs to have weight so that it will move the, and it's just really cool to be able to, that we didn't say, this is what you're doing. And it's also, no matter what level they are, adults included. And we actually go up to age 99. My bad joke is if a 100-year-old wants to come, I'm going to let them in. But we take the same into senior centers. Mm-hmm. The point there, though, is that you can put anything in a book or try to regurgitate it. And then if you don't get that question right on the test, you kind of feel a little bad about that. They can do it. And this is the environment where no matter what level or age, they can see that come through, which is really cool.
That's pretty cool. Now, you mentioned something going into senior centers. Mm-hmm. Is that more of a, like an engagement where you're just trying to keep their brains active? And how is that a different challenge than going into, you know, the pre-K four-year-olds?
So it's similar and it depends on the environment that you're going to. So every program that we put together, it's basically custom built, right? You can pick the topic, you can pick the theme. If you have, we're all next gen science standard aligned. So if you want, you know, a particular focus area, that's all in there. Then when you bring it into those, you just make those modifications. So where it's actually similar. So if our fine motor skills are not necessary, then that just adds to the prep work behind the scenes for our team and making sure that we have enough support and staff from either our end or within the facilities to be able to make that and have it be successful for them.
Gotcha. Are you working with school curriculums as well? Like, do they fit well into a lot of these school district curriculums? And I'll add on to that question. Are you, if a school or a daycare reaches out to you, mainly I'm thinking like K through six school, are you able to mold whatever it is into that current curriculum for whatever that school district or that particular school is working on?
Yes, for the most part. I haven't encountered one that I haven't. And one of the best examples was sixth grade. They were finishing their unit on buoyancy.
Okay.
And we were able to bring in a field trip and they were able to then see that, including neutral buoyancy, which is a very difficult thing to reach, using all the same supplies. And what was really cool about that is they all, like, even though they were on teams, they're still allowed to help each other because we do talk a lot about copying in Challenge Island. And we're like, it's not like a test, it's sharing. That's part of the engineering process that we're doing. So they were more prepared for their exam because they were able to take all of those pieces. Much unlike the kindergartners,
right?
They did all of the book work of it and then they applied it in real life.
That's cool. So like their curriculum in their, you know, their science curriculum for that moment was buoyancy and you were able to fit the Challenge Island activity into that. So now they're not just doing what's in the book or a small activity in a classroom. They're getting together as a large group and learning that same lesson, but in a hands-on environment. And it's probably a little different too, because it's not this their teacher that they're used to with the same lesson over again.
Well, and the teachers then become part of the team, which is a really cool thing for them to be able to see and enjoy as well.
And it's a relief for the teachers.
Yes.
They don't have to teach that at that moment. I know my wife's a teacher and anytime that there's an activity like that where she can kind of just step back and be a part of it versus like trying to just hammer down the lesson, she's just like, that was such a relief today because I didn't have to do the work on that.
So, that's sure the other benefit of being able to allow them to enjoy what they're built to do as well
and
see it in action.
My wife was looking at your program as well. I think the first time she saw it too was when we had the Challenge Island at CVPD.
Yeah.
And she was like, this is incredible.
Yes.
So and she's Swiss school district. So we'll see if maybe we can squeeze her into
the
school
district.
But so I want to talk about something funny here now too.
Okay.
So is there a moment, and it might've been like when you were starting out too, where
most likely
where there was just like a something that happened where you were like, oh my gosh, this is a disaster. But then later you turn around and now it's just, you can laugh at it cause you learned and you grew from it. But was there an initial moment where you're like, I don't know what's happening right now. Yes. What is going on?
Well, there are many. I don't know what's happening.
I'm sure dealing with that age group too. It happens every,
every event. Mostly just starting a business has all of those moments. Is it this form? Is it that one? What legal piece? Making sure all that. Once that's, and I went to my first event, everything had to be individualized because we were masked. We weren't, you know, doing the exact part of the program of interacting as much as a team. So I love checklists. Obviously, if you're, you know, packing things, you're following all this. So I didn't have pencils. on the checklist because it's kind of like a given to have pencils. I mean, we had markers, we had crayons, we had scissors, we had glue sticks for them to do the things. And the panic immediately set in because this was like probably my first event coming out of, you know, good old corporate America. And I, you know, was used to then having to answer essentially for those type of things. And all of a sudden I was the one to answer to, which is also a fun thing and, you know, sometimes scary at the same time. But I went, oh my gosh, I don't have pencils. What am I going to do if I don't have pencils? Like it's on the, it's one of the staples that we need. And then all, you know, every single aspect of Challenge Island came together and said, you can figure this out.
That was your own
part of my own, like what we are teaching them. And no one knew pencils were needed and nobody cared. So then it was just like this, I think of that all the time. And I tell that to some of my instructors or if someone's packing either for themselves or someone else, I said, the best part about Challenge Island is that we then just solve for that problem.
Yeah. And what they didn't know didn't change anything. Just became part of the new.
Created lots of things and been able to like kind of learn from that moment and our aha moment.
What was your most, and you might have something like this, so hopefully you do, to answer my question. What was your most unique challenge you had to come up with to fit like a specific curriculum or specific learning objective for a client?
Oh boy.
I'm sure there was one where you had to be like, I don't, how are we gonna do this? But then you just pull it off and it's like cool, but unique.
Yes. Okay. So I have too many favorites. So that's one problem. I would have to say we did, I have to think back to, oh, it actually hasn't happened yet, but it's on the books. So we are going in to, they actually have a challenge program, not unrelated to Challenge Island, but they also have a STEAM-based curriculum. So taking something that would feel very different from what they are accustomed to doing. So we are doing, it comes from Disaster Island, and it's going to be avalanche.
Okay.
So not a lot of avalanches, thank goodness, here in central PA. And being able to actually incorporate the science behind making snow into it.
Okay.
Not necessarily a standard. It's not going to be on the website. It's not going to, but being able to put those things together so that it makes it more unique.
So you're going to make snow?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We've done it before.
Okay.
We've done it before, but we're going to really, you know, talk a little bit more about that aspect.
Gotcha. Now I have a, I'm going to pin something because you said something interesting, but that just goes to show you though, that it, like what you see on your site isn't necessarily all you can do.
There's so,
so if I had a group in mind that I needed you to come in with, and I wanted to talk to you about, just because it's not on your site doesn't mean you can't incorporate an activity with that.
Yeah. That's probably one of the coolest things since we build everything.
It's very flexible.
Yeah.
Cool. Now you said Disaster Island, not Challenge Island. So what's, what's Disaster Island?
So we have hundreds of islands. So our newest one is Monsters and Myths Island. You know, Dracula is a part of that. We've got some Dracula blood slime, all of the different themes. And then the camps have, you know, their own creative names to it as well.
Okay. The camps you said, is that the summer camp? You do summer camps?
We do.
Do you do them all year round or is it pretty predominantly in the summer?
So we do summer camps all year round. With the varying school schedules here, we don't necessarily do breaks because they're not necessarily super long breaks.
Right.
And schools are typically not open on those days.
And anymore, you have schools that have this day off, but that school doesn't have off.
Exactly. Yeah. But we do kids night out. So that's kind of, you know, a mini camp for parents, if you will. So they do it. It's a drop-off program and they get to
the evenings or weekends.
Yep, okay. Yep. We do those monthly.
Okay. And then you have a location where you do those?
So we do it through, we partner with Parks and Recs in the area. So it's dependent on where those, you know, locations are for
gymnasiums
them.
Or places like
that. Yeah. Okay. Since we're mobile, we go where the kids are.
Gotcha. No, that's exciting.
Yeah.
What's entailed with the summer camps now? So that's a, I'm guessing a week long program throughout the summer. Are there multiple ones? You have different theme ones that parents can choose from?
Yes, absolutely. So It's, we do 4 or 5 day camps, depending on the location, when they're open. And we run 3-hour camps. So it's not your typical, you know, drop off summer camp, you know, swim and all the things like that. But we do the same thing we do in our after school programs or our events. And we're running, up to 3 challenges during those. And, the biggest one is slime. Slime. And we have slime in every camp, which is really an amazing way for them to learn what a polymer is. Because, you know, if you're making polymers, then you can remember what a polymer is a little more than just saying, yeah, I heard of a polymer way back in the day.
Right. And if it's incorporating slime, every kid loves slime. I don't know how much slime we have in my house, but it
lots.
It's everywhere.
Yes, absolutely.
That's good. So yeah, I mean, you got camps, you do your in-school activities, daycares, all the way to senior centers, corporate events. If you had a takeaway from what you used to do to what you do now, what do you think is like the best part of your job? Every day you wake up, you're like, this is why I do that.
It's making that impact, that positive impact of, you never know. And that's really cool. What has never changed. I became a pharmacist for a reason. I wanted to be able to have an impact on other kids' grandparents, to be able to have them enjoy them for as long as possible, you know, by giving out medications, all the things.
You're extending livelihood.
Keeping, healthy. So now I still get to do that by being able to, I said it earlier, I never know who is having that positive impact or what spark is being ignited for them to say, yeah, I do want to become an engineer, or I do want to become a teacher. I want to tell other kids about all of these subjects, or I want to move into the science and technology as well. The best thing I love to ask kids is, you know, what does technology mean? They go right to the devices, and then we talk about,
oh, it's my iPad.
Well, technology was around way before that. But again, getting them interested in how things work and asking those questions is really phenomenal.
Do you talk about how technology existed even before electronics?
Like, yeah, well,
there's technology that existed before there was an electrical grid.
Exactly. Yeah. And we do that with our kind of like the pulley system, the simple machines.
Gotcha.
I mean, I forgot there were 6 simple machines until I, you know,
for thousands of years
was out here in this. And they get to see that, and they get to figure out that wheel and axle, it's not just a part of a car. It's not just there to get us to school, and then have them improve all of these things, because, you know, as us adults, we need them to keep creating products and services that
we talked about. You were saying the impact and how that would change kind of the trajectory of where a kid's going to go. Mm-hmm. We talked about that with, I mentioned Justin a little earlier, a little bit different. If you go back and watch that, he was just saying how he had a discussion with someone in college and it ended up just changing the whole path of that person's life. It's the same kind of thing where it's and a little bit exciting too, where you don't know what that's going to change down the road, but you know that it will with at least someone that you're making contact with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, it's a little too soon to tell now, but even when I see students from like 3 years ago now at this point, which is kind of cool to say too, they say hello, they recognize
me,
and then they kind of are like asking, when am I seeing you again for Challenge Island?
Which that's means, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're built for it.
They want that engagement.
Yeah.
Not engagement with you, but they're you too. But they also want they crave that creativity and that spark, that creative spark that they get when they're doing activities like that. Well, they don't really even feel probably like they're learning, but they are.
Yes. Yeah. We're very sneaky that way.
Yeah. That's good. Now I have one last question here, and it's a little bit different. Do you feel like you had a steep learning curve transitioning from basically you were a pharmacist all the way to now you're essentially a teacher to thousands of kids. You know, my wife's a teacher to 20 some kids, 24 kids. But you're now a teacher to probably tens of thousands of kids at this point, or in a couple of years you will be. What was that learning curve for you to switch from talking about pharmaceuticals to training corporate America to now you're talking about axles and pulleys and things like that.
Yeah. I think it's definitely the biggest challenge is remembering what I learned.
Okay.
And the, obviously you're following your lesson plan and you're going through what that is. So we're not missing any of the information. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest challenge is, oh gosh, what if they want to know more? And clearly we live in the digital information world, so we can figure that out pretty quickly. We don't have to go to the, set of encyclopedias on the shelf.
Dusty library.
Yeah. But I think that was probably one of the biggest challenges, the what if they're asking us something? And that's something in pharmacy that you never answer a question that you don't know the answer to. So being able to see that and have them be a little bit more patient with that as well. Mm-hmm. And it, mostly in the summer camps, you can do that because the longer they're there, the more questions they have.
I'm sure. And there's probably some questions that you're like, where did that come from?
So I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges. But again, being able to impart that knowledge on them and they teach you things too.
And I'm sure it's also okay to say, I don't know. Let's find out.
Big time.
And then they see that you don't have to know everything.
Absolutely
but you
not.
You can find out.
Yes.
You can research.
Yeah.
That's cool. So it's very rewarding too, because I'm sure you learn plenty along the way as well.
Yes. My first zip line experience, I didn't know
how'd that go?
It didn't go well for me, but they were so, and they're so kind and compassionate. And they said, no, Miss Kristen, all you have to do is, blah, blah, blah. And I went, oh, clear. You know how many times I studied that piece of paper trying to, and then, we very figured cool. it out together.
That's awesome. If there was like one imparting, as we kind of wrap up here, piece of wisdom, or you would say that you just want to kind of get out there about what you do, not necessarily Challenge Island, because that incorporates everything we talked about, but just about teaching and learning at any age, just to not stop. If there's something that you wanted to kind of get out there, that's your message, and wrap up with that.
Perfect. So I would say, I have this saying, timing is everything and there's no good time for anything. So is there ever a good time to start a business? No. Is there ever going to be a perfectly aligned time to start something, add something on? Is it going to be perfect? Probably not. Mm-hmm. And accepting that piece of it and reminding yourself about that when, you are really have so much going on. I would say that if you're passionate about something, for example, to be able to, I'm raising STEAM awareness. Mm-hmm. We're advocating for not only our children, but our adults to have these skill sets that we need. If you have that passion, there is no time to, make it perfect.
And it's never too late.
The time to start. Yes, absolutely. I think that's what I would say.
And I have one other question. I apologize. But
you're okay.
Where do you see STEAM education going? So it's from the first time I've heard that, my wife's an educator. I heard that probably when she first started about a decade ago or a little bit before. And from the time I first was introduced to that as a non-educator myself, now it's changed so much. So where do you kind of see that going again in the next year or 5 years?
I can think of the catapults that we build, and it is going to catapult. It's not going to slow down, as we can tell by everything else not slowing around us. And it's just going to shift as well. So the basics will be there, but since we're already still not, we're behind here in America, it's only going to continue to grow and have an extreme need.
And I think that the acronym lends itself to such a wide variety of things you can learn that with how fast stuff comes out now, you're not in a bad way. So don't take this in the wrong way, but what you do will always be a step behind, not because you're doing something wrong, but just because stuff now is coming out so fast with the development of these AI learning technologies and all these computer models that are coming out, and just technology in general, not even as you'd think of it with a tablet or a screen, but just industry technology.
What will it be?
Changed so fast that it's good for you because you're always going to have new things to educate on.
Yeah, and we need those basics and those fundamentals.
Totally. Those won't ever change.
Built into that. So that
the pulley system, yeah. The axles, I mean, that's physics and stuff that's been around for thousands of years.
And the sooner they are exposed to that, you know, obviously the better. And it's so funny you said when you first heard of it, it was STEM when my twin nieces, they kept saying STEM. I'm like, what is that? Mm-hmm. What is that? And to think of, again, that was 10 plus years ago. It hasn't gone away. It's not going anywhere.
It's just expanded.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's so many beautiful brains out there that are going to do so many awesome things.
It's cool.
In this realm.
It's wild to think about what is available now for even like my kids, you know, mm-hmm. 9 and 6, what's available for them now to learn
mm-hmm.
and not just play video games on, but to actually learn. And it's right there in front of them. Like what that will empower them to do in 10 years when they're entering the workforce.
Well, they'll need to create those new programs for
whatever that next level of
curriculum is.
And that it's cool because a lot of that stuff doesn't even exist right now. So
exactly.
Who knows what that'll turn into?
Not us.
Not me. I won't be trying to learn something new at that point. I'm just saying that. No. But I mean, I'm excited by that too, because I think what we do here is very technology heavy. I mean, we have video stuff.
Yes.
We're doing web development, programming, all marketing and technology is a great marriage of,
exactly.
of skills, and it never ends. The learning was constantly for us. It's
exactly.
new stuff. So it lends kind of to what you are
doing.
And, it's exciting to see that.
It is. You said AI and I think marketing, and I think that was not in my MBA class.
Yeah. Well, and the colleges, to their credit, do what they can, but like that when we see a lot of people coming out of college now too, they're always, from what they're being taught, a little bit behind what's current right now, just because the business world tends to adopt some of those things a little faster than institutional worlds. Mm-hmm. So there's always going to be that gap between what's being taught in an educational setting versus what's being implemented in the business world.
Yeah.
They're doing better. Like some of the bigger schools are starting to teach that, but there's still a lag.
Yeah.
But you can kind of be in the middle ground there.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, the real world.
Well, thank you for coming in. Where can people find
you so much for
your information?
Me. I am on the World Wide Web. I am on Facebook. So it's Challenge Island Central PA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, out in the community too. Yeah. We always put all of our events out there at Tooth Fairy Time.
Yeah. I don't know when the next one is. You're coming. You have a new one coming up, don't you?
I think in the fall, but we'll... Yeah. It's just great. All of the different community events. We'll be a part of Remake Learning Days, which is a huge STEAM festival.
Mm-hmm.
So we go out there and it'll all be out on the website.
Definitely. Cool. Well, we'll put the links to your site and your Facebook in like our show description. So
awesome.
Cool. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks.